Welcome to the pulpit ministry of the Launce Baptist Church. Hi, this is Jerry Bishop, and I want to thank you for listening today. Here at Launce Baptist, we believe in proclaiming the glory of God, the wonderful good news of the gospel, the lordship of Christ, and the authority of Scripture over our lives. May the Lord bless you, and may you grow in the knowledge of Him today as you listen.
Thank you very much for all you've done for us. Let's look in the Word of God, and we'll see what God has for us in His Holy Word. I'm thinking about this. I was praying about this, what I would say. And I'm thinking about, you know, we have a lot of challenge. I was 15 years old. An evangelist came by, and he gave a challenge. You need to surrender your life to the Lord. You need to dedicate yourself to the Lord. You need to give yourself to Jesus. And I said, yes, I'm going to do that. And I came forward and gave my life to the Lord. But you know, as I thought about that over the years, after I grew a little older, they didn't really say too much about what do you do after that. And when you give your life to the Lord, which my wife and I have done, we said, Lord, we'll go anywhere, we'll do anything, and we'll go at any time. We'll just drop everything and go. We'll go anywhere, we'll do anything, anytime for you, Lord. But what happens after that? And I think we have to remember this. You need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit if you're going to continue to live for God. You surrender your life to Him. You give your life to Him. And then daily, minute by minute, moment by moment, hour by hour, surrender yourself to Him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, then you'll do whatever God wants you to do. And the problem we have, as I'm preaching to myself too, the problem we have as Christians is our flesh gets in the way, right? The flesh rises up. And so we want to do our own thing. We're very self-centered and selfish people, really. We always want to do, you know, these things that we like for ourselves. And so I'm going to talk about that, being surrendered to the Holy Spirit this evening. We have those wonderful verses in God's Word, when you think about that. And we'll look at some of those. But first of all, you take a look at Matthew 28, 18 and 20. Matthew 28, 18 and 20. And by the way, America is a great... I love foreign missionaries. We support foreign missionaries at our church. And I love foreign missionaries and I love foreign missions. I would love to go there. I would have gone there. God didn't call me there. But when you think about America... Just think about this. America is the fifth largest mission field in the world. You know that? 169 million Americans have no church affiliation at all. Then you add to the 169 million people, those people that go to those churches that believe you have to work your way to heaven, which is not true, right? You're never going to get there because Jesus paid it all. You add that in there and that'd probably bring it over 200 million. That's America where we live. And now they're sending missionaries from foreign lands into America to plant churches. Wow. You know, over in Europe, that was a big, so strong years ago, sent missionaries all over the world. About 3% of the people go to church in Europe now. That's it. Steve mentioned something about dropping the torch. I think that's what he's referring to. So America is in the mission field. Big mission field. But Jesus said, Matthew 28, and he came in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I love that verse 18. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Wow. And so that power He gives to us to go out. Give out the good news of salvation. And this is the great commission. I also love those verses in Matthew 9, 35 to 38. We need to go. By the way, it's a command to go. It's not an option. You got to go. Matthew 9, and Jesus went about all the cities. Verse 35, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Wow. That motivated him to go. And because they fainted, they were ready to give up. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no leader, no direction in their life, as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. The harvest is truly plenteous. The great harvest. The unsaved are everywhere. But the laborers are few. Just for me personally, my wife and I, in our mission, Continental Baptist Missions, I was talking to our field director, Tom Loxton, just about a week ago. He said, I have 24 places that you can go. 24 places you can go. I have nobody to go there. That's just in our mission. Think of all the mission boards and that we have in America and all the places that you could go. And every year, 3,300 churches close down in America. I mean, close down. My dear old dad, I always called him dear old dad. Dear old dad. He just hated to see an empty church. He would just weep. He saw, look at that church, it's empty. Oh, man, oh, could we open that up? And he loved when he first came, he went to Skaney, and that old, I have a picture of the church, by the way, on my display there. Skaney, Berga, Lance. The 3,300 churches of all denominations across the board close down every year. Now, the good news is 1,700 start up. 1,700 new church plants, but we're still losing ground, aren't we, as far as churches? And a lot of the new ones that are planted do not preach the gospel, the good news of salvation. And so the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. And then, of course, you all know that verse, Acts 1:8, that ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall receive power. I like that because I was born scared. And I had several relapses since. I mean, down my back, there's a big yellow stripe down my back. I'm very cowardly. Yeah. But you know what God does? He gives you the power to be a witness. Amen? The Holy Spirit gives you the power to be a witness for Him. And so, you don't have to be afraid. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind to give the good news of salvation out. But let's look at this Holy Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at that. The filling of the Spirit. And in Ephesians 5:18 is the verse we'll look at, and look at a couple others. I love that verse. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, help us as we look into your word. Help me, and may the Holy Spirit give me the words to say. May I be used as an instrument today to glorify God. For those people sitting out there, Lord, speak to their hearts when the Holy Spirit convict them and me and draw us close to the Savior. Help us to be all that you want us to be and to do all that you want us to do. May we have a passion for souls. May we have a burden for America and for countries in our world that need the gospel. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so, that's a wonderful verse. In the original text, it talks about continuous action. In other words, keep on being filled. You be filled is what it means. And so, be filled or be controlled with the Spirit. That's an enduring, continuous action. And then in a Christian's daily life, it has to be throughout the life. Our relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, we need to be filled, 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 filled. Not a second work of grace, by the way. Not being slain in the Spirit, we're not talking about that. When you're saved, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell in you. And that happens at salvation. After you're saved, when you surrender yourself, when you give yourself to the Lord, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing like being indwelt with the Holy Spirit. It's something that happens again and again and again to be filled with the Spirit. And it's when the Holy Spirit has control of your life. You don't hear too much about the Holy Spirit. I shouldn't say that here. Maybe you do here, but I mean, I'm just saying, in going to conferences and going to hear, you know, you don't hear much preaching on the Holy Spirit. I haven't heard much on it. But the Holy Spirit is, His power is what we need to be surrendered. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God. If you consider the book of Acts is a wonderful, wonderful book. He talks about the being filled again and again and again. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we find out that they gathered together, those that gathered together in the upper room, day of Pentecost, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Peter, who was one of those in the upper room, we found out that remember Peter gave that wonderful sermon, 3,000 souls were saved. But look at chapter 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, Peter is filled again. He was filled at Pentecost, now he's filled again. And the believers had previously been filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled again as they heard of the report of Peter's conflict at the Sanhedrin. Look at verse 31 of chapter 4. And when they had prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with boldness. They are filled again. And look at chapter 6 and verse 3. Stephen. And we find, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And then Philip and others. Full of the Holy Spirit. And then later on we find that, remember Stephen was stoned. We find again, look at chapter 7, verse 55. When they were stoning Stephen, chapter 7 of Acts, verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Spirit looked up steadfastly into the heaven, in heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Just kind of an aside, when Stephen was stoned, you know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. When Stephen was stoned, Jesus stood up. Isn't that something? Saw him standing. Wow. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled again. Paul and Barnabas, a number of occasions, were repeatedly filled with the Holy Spirit, and so on. And so, filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, we get back to our verse in Ephesians 5:18. And look at that. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that word there is in excess. Means like rowdiness or wildness or riotousness. And so one who is under the control of alcohol
acts in a different way. I was in the U.S. Coast Guard. You know, I love those lighthouses. That's why I joined the Coast Guard, really. I saw that lighthouse out there. Yeah, that's for me. Anyway. But when I was in the service, I remember this one guy. He was a very meek and mild-mannered guy. Easy to get along with. Occasionally, he would go uptown and get drunk. And whenever he came back to the base, he always wanted to fight. All right, come out here. Come on, everybody. I'm going to fight you all. He'd always say every single time. And so I distinctly remember this. The one guy, another guy that was in the service with me there, he said to him this one time, and it stuck in my mind, is that you are the booze talking? You want us to come out and fight you? Is that you are the booze talking? And I thought about this verse here. Be not under the control of alcohol, a meek and mild-mannered man who would never fight. Now he's been drinking, and he wants to fight everybody. His whole personality has changed. His whole manner has changed. He's now acting like a different person. He comes under the influence of the alcohol. Has dominated him and controlled him. The alcohol transformed the person. So when the apostle is using this contrast and talking about being filled with the Spirit, he proceeds to show that if you're under the control of the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will find that controlling Holy Spirit changes your life. Amen? It changes you. And when you yield to His control, and that word filled could be translated controlled. And there's fillings. You could fill up, if you have a glass of water, fill up with a pitcher, be filled. You fill the glass with water. And that means that also. But also could mean when you see the sail, you're on a sailboat, and the wind fills the sail. Well, now it's filled with wind, but now the boat starts to move. So it's a filling and now a moving action. And moved along by the wind of the sail. And so Paul is saying the filling of the Spirit is in controlling the person, and the one who indwells moves the one to a new course of action, to a new kind of lifestyle. Before you were now you're out there talking about Jesus, you're giving the gospel out, you're handing out tracts, you're saying something happened to me, the Lord changed me. Guess what? I am now a different person. God loved me. Jesus died for me. Sometimes people will say to me, you go into the garage or something and you get your car work done, and what do you know for sure? I know for sure God loves me and Jesus died for me and I'm on my way to heaven. The guy looks at you like, who's that goofball? You know? Anyway, I'm happy about it. The Holy Spirit changes you, transforms you. And remember Peter? Peter was a coward. Remember that? He's warming himself by the fire. Jesus is in there, the mock trial. He's outside warming himself by the fire. A little girl comes along. She said, I think I saw you before. You were with Jesus. Oh! Never knew the man. Cursed and swore. I never knew him. Three times he said he never knew Jesus. Coward. After Pentecost, he got up. And here's what he said when he preached. You are the ones who killed the same crowd. You are the ones who killed Jesus. What's the difference? Now he's controlled by the Spirit. Before he wasn't. Now he's controlled by the Spirit. Amen? And he's speaking the Word of God with boldness, and 3,000 souls are saved. Peter is a transformed man. From being a coward, denying that he even knew Jesus, to now saying, you're the ones that killed Jesus. That's being filled with the Spirit. Well, Be not drunk or controlled by alcohol, but be controlled with the Spirit. It'll change your life. What does it say in the next verse? It says, you'll be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Wow! That's a miracle. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, you'll be joyful. You'll be thankful. You'll be submissive. Wow! What a change. No more grumbling. Oh, another flat tire. I knew that would happen. I knew it. It's the way it is. The next thing will happen, probably the alternator will go out. You know? Things always come in threes. So after that, then my battery will go dead. Didn't ever have to do any work. Manna came down from heaven. Shoes didn't wear out. The clothes never wore out. All they did is complain all the time. They don't like this manna. Wandering around, you know, murmur. And then they said, give us some meat. Give us some meat, they said to God. So he gave them that quail. He gave them what they wanted, but God sent leanness to their soul. You want a skinny soul? I don't. He gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness to their soul. Think about that. When you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you are a joyful person, you are a thankful person, and you're a person that is submissive to God. Submissive to God. Well, you could grieve the Holy Spirit. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, and you have unconfessed sin in your life. How about you tonight? How about me? Any unconfessed sin? I always like what my old dad said. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. You got some sin, confess it. Don't let it go on and on. 1 John 1:9, right? Confess your sin. He is faithful and just, will forgive you your sin, and can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Unconfessed sin will keep you from being controlled by the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And then there's also something else. You can quench the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's when you quench the Holy Spirit. Quenching the Holy Spirit is when you say no to God. I'm going to do what I want, not what you want. That's quenching the Holy Spirit. There are people that say that. Nope, nope, nope. No. I love those verses in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You think about, I'll do what I want, I'll go where I want, I'll say what I want, I'll eat what I want, I'll wear what I want. Don't tell me what to do. Independent people, right? I like what someone said. We have to remember this. It should be in the front of our Bible, right in there. Declaration of Dependence. I got it here. Declaration of Dependence. I need God. I need God. I depend on Him. We need God. We need each other. Amen? Now I closed my Bible and lost my place. 1 Corinthians. I'll find it. I got this old Bible, the pages starting to fly out. You know, kind of, you know, embarrassing, I guess, really. But I hate to part with this old Bible. It's got so many notes in there, marks in there. Got a few tears on the pages. But I have to part with it, get a new one. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. A double ownership. He made us. He saved us. by His precious blood on Calvary's cross. He bought us, purchased our redemption. I, Dan French, belong to God. He owns me. I don't own myself. He owns me. I am His possession. You're His possession. You're a child of God. We belong to God by purchase. And so we need to submit ourselves to Him, to the Spirit of God. And so it can be controlled by the Spirit. There's another verse. I like those verses in Romans 12. If you look at that, Romans 12, and I'm watching the time here too, by the way. I'm trying to break this down to a shorter time frame, which is hard to do. I've never known to be brief. Never been known to be brief. Romans chapter 12. And here I'm just going to demonstrate to you. This is what it is. Because Paul has written these 11 chapters about all that God does for us and everything. And then what he does is he gets, it's what he does. This is what it means. I beg you, I plead with you. Give yourself to God. That's what he's talking about. I gave my body away three times. First of all, when I surrendered my life to the Lord, I gave my life to Him. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm yours. Second time, gave my body to Uncle Sam. He sent me where He wanted me to go. I had no choice. Third time, I gave myself to my wife. We got married. God wants you to give yourself to Him. You have no rights. You don't own anything. Your name might be on that deed of your house. Your name might be on the title of your car. That's all God's stuff. Belongs to Him. And we belong to Him. The body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, as you see that, Paul is saying, I beg you, I beseech you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you may prove it as a good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And that transforming comes from the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and applying it to your life and changing you. Lord, you're mine. You got me. And you can have me. And for whatever you want me to do is what we need to say. You got me, Lord. Surrender. Present. Let God have your life. His way with your life. You don't get your life back. Can't take it back. Give God the rest of your life. He might want you to go across the street to your neighbor and give him the gospel. He might want you to go to be a missionary, to be a pastor, to be a deacon, to be a Sunday school teacher. But whatever God wants, just say, Lord, I'm yours. You own me. I'm giving myself to you. Take me. Can't give your life, you can't give it back. You got the rest of my life. That's surrender. It's not I'll try it for a while and see if I like it. And then if I like it, I'll do it. Oh God, He's really mean. He'll probably send me way over the Sahara Desert or someplace. You know, I might have to go to Greenland. Pretty cold up there. You know, give the safest place to be is in the will of God. Amen? The safest place to be is in the will of God. And so, give your life to Him. God wants you to give your life to Him. So I love those verses. I love that verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. There's other verses we could look at. Let's just look at one or two and we'll try to wrap this up now. But Romans 6, 13, I love that verse too. It's along the same lines of present yourself and neither yield or your bodies, Romans 6:13, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Again, present, yield, submit, Romans 6:13. Stop submitting or presenting your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Present yourself as instruments of righteousness unto God. Isn't that great? God wants you. I remember what my dad used to always say. I don't know, some old expression. He wants you lock, stock, and barrel. He wants it all. He wants it all. He wants everything. I'm no longer mine, but I'm His. I give myself to Him. That's submission. That's surrender. That's dedication. Sometimes you call it consecration. It's something that you do every day of your life. When you get up in the morning, Lord, I'm Yours. Take me and use me today for Your honor and glory. I'm Yours. Throughout the day, I'm Yours, Lord. I give myself to You. I'm Yours. Remember, that's continuous. Continuous thing. Moment by moment, step by step. And then the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. And we find those verses in Galatians. Let's look at Galatians, and then we'll close this down. Galatians 5. I love those verses, Galatians 5:16. This I say, and walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then it talks about all the things that are the flesh here, which we won't read, but you see them there in verse 20, idolatry and witchcraft, all these things. But then if you move down to verse 22, you're about to walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Wow. You're led by the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You're convicted by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Scriptures to you. My dear wife is really glad that I'm not the way I used to be. We got married in 1968. I got out of the service. And I went to work somewhere, and they said, "You take the broom and sweep." I don't sweep. I quit. I don't sweep. 13 jobs I had. 13 different jobs, 1 month. Keep thinking, that guy's a loser. What a bum I married. Yeah. He's not very responsible. Huh. She's sure glad that I'm not the way I used to be. You know, when the Holy Spirit controls your life, you realize that you have some responsibilities to God, to your family, to your church, to each other. That love and that joy and the peace and long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance, against such there is no law. That self-control. And so, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to control your life. And I'm glad to you, my wife. I love my wife very dearly. I love her more all the time. More every day. Gets better all the time. But she was saved when she was 20 years old. And she was a Roman Catholic. I'm glad she's not the way she used to be either. Saying the rosary every day. Wow. Hoping that you might get there. Maybe if. Went to the funeral in Sauk Center, and I looked on there, and they had a little card that said 300 absolutions. So I didn't know. 300 absolutions. Wow. I studied the Catholic religion a little bit, but I didn't remember that word. So I went home. I showed it to my wife. What does that mean? She said that 300 prayers were said that person had died. would get up out of purgatory and maybe get to heaven. Wow. Isn't that a false hope? Isn't that sad? So I did a little research, and I looked it up, and I found out that Pope so-and-so, forget his name, decided it's a good way for the Catholic Church to make more money, so he came up with his word absolutions. That night, light a candle. Pay money. You got to pay for each prayer. Isn't that something? And I love Catholics. I married one. Well, she wasn't a Catholic when I married her. My wife and I love to work with Catholics. But you know something? There are people out there lost. They don't know how to get to heaven. And you have the answer, and I have the answer, the good news of salvation. So surrender your life to the Lord. Present your life to Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. Be not controlled by your own selfish desires. Be not controlled by whatever it might be that's controlling you, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to control your life. That is, and when you do that, you'll be willing to go wherever God wants you to go. You'll be willing to plant another church. You'll be willing to give the gospel to your neighbors. You'll be willing to give the gospel to anybody. You'll be willing to do anything for God. You'll never say no. You always say yes. Yes, 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 Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. That little word no won't be in your vocabulary when it comes to God. And God says, will you do this? Yes, I'm yours, Lord. You paid for me. You purchased my salvation on Calvary's cross. You created me, and you own me, and I'm yours. You can do whatever you want with me. I'm here to serve you. I trust that you'll make that decision tonight. You know what will happen? Your whole life will be revolutionized. It'll be transformed. When you go downtown, you'll be seeing people a different way. You'll see the people like Jesus saw them. When Jesus came to seek and to save that was lost, He saw them bruised. Luke 4:18. He saw them broken. He saw them blind. He saw them captives. Let's read that verse. Then I'm going to let the pastor come up. If you would, please. Let me read that verse. I got to read that one verse because I'm trying to quote it and I don't want to get it wrong. Jesus is quoting from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Not talking about people who had no money. He's talking about people that are completely destitute spiritually, have nothing at all. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now their whole life is falling apart. Only the Lord can heal them. To preach deliverance to captives. Satan has them captured with sin. They're prisoners to sin. Recovering of the sight to the blind. They can't see. They're groping through life. They have no future. They can't see where they're going. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's a wonderful verse. Whenever I read that, it convicts me and motivates me to go. See people through the eyes of Jesus. That's how He saw them. Thank You, Father, for the time we can talk about You and Your Word. Thank You for these dear people at Launce Baptist for their faithfulness in giving and praying for us all these years. Thank You, Father, for this church that You've raised up here, the lighthouse in this community. Lord, help me, my wife, the people at Rockford Baptist. May we surrender on a daily basis our lives to You. And allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Fill us so we're controlled by the Spirit. Then we'll always do Your will, because we'll be controlled. May that be true each day in my life, in the lives of the people here. And then, Lord, we didn't mention that, but if there's someone that's not saved, never came to ask Jesus Christ to save them from their sins, realizing they're a sinner, may they come to know Christ tonight. We thank you so much in Jesus' name.